It's not like anything happened. You drove her home. Nothing happened? Were you even listening? I've been dreaming about her for months, and she turns out to be... Link cut me off. You didn't hook up or anything. You didn't go in the haunted mansion, right? And you never saw, you know, him. Even Link couldn't bring himself to say his name. It was one thing to hang out with a beautiful girl, in any situation. It was another thing to hang out with old man Ravenwood. I shook my head. No, but... I know, you're screwed up. I'm just saying, keep it to yourself, dude. All this is on a strictly need-to-know basis, as in, nobody else needs to know? I knew that was going to be hard. I didn't know it was going to be impossible. When I pushed open the door to English, I was still thinking about everything. About her. The nothing that had happened. Lena Duquesne. When I looked at her, I was farther away from Gatlin than I'd ever been. I guess when I started thinking, I stopped walking, and I felt someone bump into me. Only it wasn't a steamroller this time, more like a tsunami. We collided. Hard. The second we touched, the ceiling light shorted out over us, and a shower of sparks rained down on our heads. I ducked. She didn't. Are you trying to kill me for the second time in 2 days, Ethan? The room went dead quiet. What? I could barely get the word out. I said, are you trying to kill me again? I didn't know you were there. That's what you said last night. Last night. The two little words that could forever change your life at Jackson. Even though there were plenty of lights still working, you would have thought there was a spotlight on us to go with our live audience. I could feel my face going red. Sorry. I mean, hi, I mumbled, sounding like an idiot. She looked amused, but kept walking. She slung her book bag on the same desk she had been sitting at all week, right in front of Mrs. English. Good eye sighed. I'd learned my lesson. There was no telling Lena Duquesne where she could or couldn't sit. No matter what you thought about the Ravenwoods, you had to give her that. I slid into the seat next to her, smack in the middle of no man's land, like I had all week. Only this time, she was talking to me. And somehow that made everything different. Not bad different, just terrifying. She started to smile, but caught herself. I tried to think of something interesting to say, or at least not stupid, but before I came up with anything, Emily sat down on the other side of me, with Eden Westerly and Charlotte Chase flanking her on either side, 6 rows closer than usual. Not even sitting on the good eye side was going to help me today. Mrs. English looked up from her desk, suspicious. Hey, Ethan. Eden turned back to me and smiled, like I was in on their little game. How's it going? I wasn't surprised to see Eden. I want to help you take a look. A second look? At who you really are. I'm going to invite you to try on this different paradigm of multiplicity that IFS espouses and consider the possibility that you and everybody else is a multiple personality. And that is a good thing. I'm not suggesting that you have multiple personality disorder, now called dissociative identity disorder. But I do think that people with that diagnosis are not so different from everybody else. What are called alters in those people are the same as what I call parts in IFS. And they exist in all of us. The only difference is that people with dissociative identity disorder suffered horrible abuse, and their system of parts got blown apart more than most. So each part stands out in bolder relief and is more polarized and disconnected from the others. In other words, all of us are born with many subminds that are constantly interacting inside of us. This is, in general, what we call thinking, because the parts are talking to each other and to you constantly about things you have to do or debate.